Hello, and welcome to the Divorce Woman's Guide podcast, where we talk about the things us divorcees are thinking, but not always talking about, as we turn our divorce into the best gift you've ever been given. And I do so with a little bit of sass and a whole lot of class. I am your host, Wendy Sterling, founder of The Divorce Rehab. I am here to support you in this transition phase of your life so you can start your new, best chapter on your own terms. After all, that's what I did after my own divorce. And now it is my mission to change the conversation around divorce and help you see why your divorce, like mine, was the best gift you ever received. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. I am so excited that you guys have tuned in today because I am here with my dear friend, Evan Shine. Hello, Evan. How are you?
Wendy, I am fantastic. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. I am really looking forward to our conversation today, and everybody tuning in, you guys are going to want to stop whatever it is that you are doing, and you are going to want to turn the volume up right now, because when Evan and I were talking about what the topic was going to be for today, you know, one of the things that Evan likes to speak about and shines light on that is similar to what I try to do in the world of the trauma associated with divorce and your divorce recovery is Evan and I are going to talk today about the stigma around divorce litigation and how it can actually be done peacefully. Yes, that is not an error in what I just said. It is possible for divorce litigation to have a peaceful outcome. And Evan is going to talk with me today about what some of those bright sides are that aren't spoken about enough today. And so, Evan, before we dive in, let me share a little bit more with you, with our audience about you today. So, Evan is a New York City-based divorce and family law attorney, partner, and the head of litigation at Berkman, Botker, Newman, and Shine LLP. During his career, he has litigated high conflict custody cases and complex financial matters. He has helped clients find post-divorce happiness and build successful financial lives, advocated to protect children, and fought for the rights of victims of domestic violence. Evan is also the host of the Shine On podcast, where he talks all things marriage, money, and divorce. So, Evan, what I always love to ask all of my guests when they come on to my podcast is, what inspired you to do the work that you do today? And through that, please share a little bit about your story, which I find very fascinating as well. And I know our listeners will too.
Wendy, first, thank you for that incredible introduction. It's great to be with you. It's great to be with your listeners and the audience. In terms of my background, my path to practicing family law is a bit unique. And I want to say, I absolutely love what I do. I love being a matrimonial attorney. I love being a family law attorney. I love everything about it. Every day I get to work with people. I get to help people. And I'll tell you what, and we've talked about this before, there's no greater reward to me than when I get to make a difference all day, every day in someone's life. And that's a difference in the short term. And it's a difference really in the long term. I mean, I hear from clients all the time, years later, that I'll get a Christmas card, I'll get a phone call, I'll get an email. And nothing makes me happier than hearing from people later on who have been divorced years before. In terms of my background, it's somewhat unique. In law school, I was an NFL sports agent, and I would travel the country on the weekends. And, you know, don't tell my law professors that I wasn't studying, you know, reading the books, but I would travel on the weekends, and I would meet with potential NFL players and their families. And I absolutely loved it. And ultimately, I did that for about 3-4 years. And what I learned in that process is different ways to interact in the perspective that so many people bring to families and relationships. And it was really an eye-opening experience for me. And I loved every second of it. I then decided to get into the law, and my entire legal career has been devoted to practicing family law and matrimonial law. As you mentioned, I'm the head of litigation for my firm and my practice. And I absolutely love what I do. And I love working with people and families.
Yeah. And it shows, and I know that you always try, well, you always have that, you know, positive spin on what an outcome gets to look like. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this today, because, you know, so many people have a negative connotation with the word litigation. You hear litigation, you think, you know, battle, you think war, you think fighting, and it doesn't always get to look like that. That's not to say that some litigation cases are, you know, it's not all sunshine, roses, and unicorns, right? But it does get to have that be a possibility. And I'd love for you to share your perspective around that and what is possible for folks who do go down the litigation route.
Wendy, it's such a great question. And I absolutely love this topic. Where does it come from? Where does the association with litigation being that knockdown, drag out divorce? I mean, is it, you know, the movies? Is it, you know, what people read about? And I can tell you that it's absolutely not the case. Of course, I have had my share of divorce cases that have lasted 2, 3, 4 years, and they have been those knockdown, drag down, you know, litigations for certain reasons, but that's few and far between. The truth is that litigation is a process. It's a process and a means to an end. And that doesn't mean a case starts in litigation. People could have tried to resolve their marital dispute through mediation, through the collaborative process. But so much of what I do and so much of what I know you do, it's really educational based and trying to find the right process and the right way to separate people and really to educate and provide people with the knowledge and resources that cheer he needs to get through the process. And I think you're right. There is that stigma attached to a litigation, but litigation for so many people, it brings structure. It brings clarity. It brings accountability to a process, which is the divorce process, where things are moving fast. Things can be overwhelming. Things can be unraveling. And for a lot of people, you know, it's about structure and creating a system that allows people to get to the next phase in their life. And with the litigation, there's dates, there's deadlines, there's a judge to oversee the process. And people like that because of the structure that it creates. And, you know, in terms of the process and it being amicable, you know, look, I always say that it's so important to have the right attorney and to really have the right team of people, because just because your case is in litigation, you don't start a case and then you have a trial. And I think one of the things people think is, you're going to start a case, file an action, and then there's going to be a trial tomorrow. That's not the goal. The goal is to still settle a case. And I can't tell you how many times cases have been in court and they've settled either on the courthouse steps or they've settled in the middle of a first proceeding or shortly thereafter, because people realize that it's always better to settle a case, and litigation often helps accomplish that.
Yeah. And, you know, what comes up for me in listening to you say that too, is that, you know, it's true. A lot of us, and I'm guilty of it when I was going through mine. I mean, I wanted to do anything and everything to stay out of litigation because, you know, red flags were going up everywhere. The biggest one being feeling like I was leaving the fate of my marriage, my, you know, my future in the hands of a judge who didn't know me from him. And I think that you bring up a really interesting point, which is that a lot of cases that do go the litigation route wind up settling. Can you talk a little bit more about that process? Because I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, there's, and I agree with you. I think the media totally blows litigation out of proportion. I think it shines the light on the negativity of it. So if you would share with our audience today, like, what is your experience, you know, when you go into a courtroom, right? Let's say, and you're, it's like day one of starting to litigate this case. Like, as an attorney, what are your goals for your clients? What are some things that people can think about as they're walking into this, you know, this type of a scenario for themselves that paints a happier picture versus one where they feel a loss of control?
Wendy, I absolutely love that question. And I always encourage my clients early on in the case, tell me your goals, right? Tell me what you want to accomplish. Tell me where you see yourself in the short term and long term. There isn't a client of mine who doesn't have a short term plan and a long term plan. Because if I could identify what that plan is, then I can put something in place to help that client get from point A to point B. But a lot of times at the first court appearance, again, it's not what you read about. It's not what you see on Law and Order or in the movies. The truth is most judges and their court staff and their court clerks will spend the time meeting with the clients, understanding what each person wants to get out of the process. Judges will spend time, if they have it, working with the attorneys and the clients to help bridge the gap. Often cases end up in litigation, not because people are having huge fights and issues over complex things, and sometimes that happens, but it's because emotions get in the way of really helping people focus on what matters most, which is often the children. And when you have a judge who can spend time with the clients and attorneys at that very first appearance and say, look, this can go one of two ways. We can sit down and we can spend time working together. And I can tell you what I'm likely to do and award 2 years down the road after a lot of time and a lot of money spent. And you can take that advice and you can settle your case now, or you can ignore my advice and I'm the judge and you can spend a lot of time and money going forward and you're nowhere closer to a resolution. And when people hear it from the judge or the judge's court clerk or the judge's court staff, it's a powerful moment, because then the proverbial light bulb goes off. And, you know, when people hear it and see it, people want to settle it. But in order to get to that place, you need to know what you want to accomplish. And there isn't a client of mine that walks into court without having given it some thought, because you can't go in front of a judge and it looks to you or your client and says, tell me what you're looking for. And you don't know the answers to those questions.
Yeah. And you bring up a really interesting point too, and one that I don't know that I necessarily thought about. You know, obviously, you know, we've talked about this and everybody listening knows I'm a proponent of having a team, right? When you go into divorce, it's really important that you have your team with you. You have your experts, you have people that have your best interests in mind that are able to provide you with the information that you need to make the best rational decision for your future. And I think one of the things that people don't see about the litigation process is the role that the judge plays and the role that the judge's staff plays in this process. I think that a lot of times, you know, people assume that they're against them, that they're just reading notes and words on pieces of paper and not taking into consideration the situation, the, you know, obviously court cases can't be decided emotionally. However, you know, having a team that is able to help communicate that, but also seeing the judge as a team member, I've never heard that before. So I'm curious to kind of dig a little bit more about that process and the judge's role, because in my head, I mean, I'll be honest with you, like I have this, you know, image of the judge with the, you know, with the gavel, and he gets to make the decision regardless. And they've, you know, they've taken an oath to follow the law. You know, how much wiggle room is there with the judge in that?
So it's a great question. And there's a lot of wiggle room. And you're right, people don't think about it, because when people think about litigation, they associate litigation with a trial. Your attorney cross-examining a witness, and you're on the stand, and your spouse is on the stand, and you're telling all the most horrific things about the other person to the judge. That's at the end of the process. But everything else before then is the time that your attorneys are going to spend with the judge. And I just got off a court call this morning, and the judge spent 2 hours, and we're doing everything virtually right now, but the judge spent 2 hours working with myself, working with my client, and the opposing counsel, and the husband in this case, and he devoted his 2 hours to helping us reach a resolution. Now, if you would have asked me yesterday, is this a case that would have settled if we never went to court? Absolutely not. If you would have asked me, was this a case that would have settled today if the judge didn't spend 2 hours with us? Absolutely not. But judges want cases to settle. They want people to move on with their lives. They want kids to transition and to go from living in perhaps one unhappy home to living in two homes where the parents are happier and a co-parenting relationship starts together. Judges want nothing more than to help people transition and to move forward and separate the emotion from the process as the judge.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, that even, you know, we were talking about this too, about how, you know, you had to transition, the whole court system had to transition into this world of digital to enable people to move forward with their lives, you know, as you just said. So how is the role of Zoom and, you know, digital conferences? What is your opinion on how that has actually moved things forward? Has it made the process more, less efficient, more collaborative?
It's such a great question. And look, the legal industry, like every other industry, really had to pivot and adapt going back to March, April of 2020. The court appearances that are taking place virtually, they're efficient because you don't have to wait around for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to see a judge for 5 minutes. But I think for me, the piece of it that's missing that you just can't duplicate on Zoom or Microsoft Teams or in a virtual world is when a judge can spend the time for an entire day. Judges right now don't have the ability to do that necessarily over Zoom. And in the work that I do and the work that you do, so much of it is personal, and judges really like getting a feel for the actual clients, for their actual issues. And I think there is a piece of the work that we both do that, you know, especially as someone who litigates and is in a courtroom, it's hard to replace that through technology and through a computer. And I think a lot of cases would settle if we were in person right now and judges are doing everything that they possibly can to move things forward and to settle cases. But look, there's challenges when you're trying to decide people's lives to really help people, you know, to see certain things in a way that is taking place virtually as opposed to in person.
Yeah. And how would people know if litigation is like the right solution? Because there's so many, I mean, you hear mediation. I personally had a settlement conference. You hear arbitration, you hear collaborative divorce. How do people know if litigation is the right choice? Aside from, you know, having an attorney who's advising you on what the best course of action is, but what do you see as, you know, sort of the, when should litigation be on the table as a possibility?
Wendy, it's a great question, and two things come to mind. The first is it comes down to your attorney, working with an attorney who's going to be able to explain to you that you have options. You have process choices available to you to go forward with the divorce process. Litigation is not for everyone. If your case is a simple, straightforward case, you don't need to be in a courtroom. Litigation is expensive, it's time consuming, so not every divorce needs to be litigated. And there's cases where perhaps mediation or the collaborative process may also not be the right fit. Many cases that end up in litigation, they don't start there initially. They end up there because another one of the process choices I mentioned, mediation or collaborative, may not have been the right fit. But cases that start in litigation right away, generally on the financial side, if someone's moving money around, if someone stops paying bills, stops paying expenses, if someone transfers substantial sums of money right away and there needs to be immediate court intervention, that's one way. The second way, if kids are involved or there's domestic violence or there's an issue with drugs, substance abuse, alcohol, or mental health that requires court intervention right away.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, I think a lot of times people will just go, you know, well, first and foremost, I know a lot of people just want to avoid court altogether. But in order for them to decide what the best avenue or path is, you know, obviously I always tell people like you need to hire an expert in something that you don't know. And, you know, sometimes the land of Google is not always the best way to, you know, find a really strong attorney. What are some questions and some things that people should keep in mind as they are navigating this process, trying to find the best legal representation? You know, what are some things that people listening can keep in mind as they're trying to figure out what representation they need and also who the best fit would be for them in their case?
Wendy, I tell everybody, it's so important to educate yourself at the beginning of the process, to do your due diligence, to do your research, find the right attorney, find the right professionals, find really the right team to support someone, to support yourself as you go through the divorce process. In terms of questions or things to ask and consider, identify your goals and what's most important to you. in on the financial side? Are there businesses, are there appraisals, are there things that we need to value? That's one question. On the parenting and custody side, try to have a conversation with your spouse, if that's possible, about your kids. I mean, at the end of the day, and I tell everybody this, nobody knows your children better than you and your partner or you and your spouse. The more you can come to an agreement, again, if possible, with your spouse, the better it is, the less expensive it is. And the more you can agree to, it makes everybody's job that much easier. And it gets the client one step closer to a resolution.
Yeah, which ultimately can create a peaceful resolution. I mean, I think that there's the opportunity as well for cases that may seem a little volatile in the beginning to wind up, you know, it doesn't mean that it has to start peaceful to end peaceful. It, you know, peace is an option for everybody. It's, you know, one of the things that, you know, Kate Anthony always talks about is, you know, making decisions with your children in the center. And to me, that's really how you ultimately create the most peace for yourself, is really keeping your kids in mind.
And Wendy, I love that. And I mean, here's the truth. When a case gets to trial, and most cases don't, but when they do, and judges will remind clients of this, you take the stand. And if you have a custody trial, you're on the stand and your attorney's asking you about your partner, about your spouse, about his or her relationship to your kids. And it brings out the absolute worst in people. And as part of the court process, attorneys for your kids can get appointed, forensic psychologists can get appointed. And if an attorney explains what the process really looks like to a client, you'll see how fast so many cases will settle. But a lot of times what happens is, and I hear from clients all the time who, you know, will take over cases or who will consult with me, Evan, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know I had another option or another way to settle my case. I didn't know there was another path or option for me. And it's so important to explain to someone what the process looks like, because once things are said, once things are written, it's so hard to walk back on that. It's so hard to co-parent. And I think people lose sight of their children at times because people look to the judge in the court process to, you know, to deal with the emotional side of things, to have the judge yell at their husband or yell at their partner or spouse. And the judge isn't always going to do that. At the end of the day, the judge wants to move the case forward. And if you're looking to go to court or you're looking to litigate a case for that reason, that's not the right reason. And you lose sight of what's most important.
Yeah. Which ultimately, you know, a lot of people don't think about, you know, you don't think about the post-divorce, right? You can't go back. What's done is done. And I don't think a lot of people understand. And if you need to go back, it's going to cost you even more money. It's going to take that much longer.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, you know, saying all these horrific things about your spouse on the witness stand after people spent an exorbitant amount of money and time, and you have a psychologist who interviews each person. And then 3 days later, you're doing a pickup and drop off, or you're at a bar bat mitzvah, or you're at a wedding, or you're at, you know, a baseball game for your child. How hard it's going to be to co-parent. And I think people forget that there's a whole nother life after divorce where no matter what happened in the relationship, husband and wife, that may not have worked out, but you're always going to have some relationship with your children's father, your children's mother. And I think people need to keep that in mind as they go through the process.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really important point. You know, one of the things that I always talk about as it relates to co-parenting is really how it is that you go through your divorce. You know, the way it is that you show up really does impact your relationship after the fact. I mean, I will be the first to admit, like I did not have an amicable divorce. I did not show up in my best self. I had a lot of anger and sadness and resentment and brought that in many, many times. And, you know, looking back, and if there's any advice I could give my former self going through that process was, you know, it didn't matter how, like, I kept trying to, I felt like I was punishing him when in reality, all I was doing was punishing myself through the process. I was making it worse for me and ultimately probably my children by not coming at it from a different lens, and really seeing how it's possible to, you know, and the importance of having a team, of managing your emotions, not bringing it into the courtroom, not bringing it into your case, that ultimately, you know, you're going to resolve and come to resolution more quickly if you're coming from a place of desire to negotiate and wanting to create an outcome that works for all parties instead of, you know, wanting to stick it to somebody, right?
Absolutely. But those feelings, I mean, it's normal. I mean, it's hard when you're in the thick of it and you're in the throes of considering separation or considering a divorce and you're in the beginning stages. Unless you have that team, unless you have the right people in place, divorce is overwhelming. I mean, you really don't have anyone in your corner to say, look, this is how the process unfolds. This is what's important. This is, you know, what you should consider and what you should think about. And unless that's in place, I mean, it's a very overwhelming and can be a very difficult process to navigate. And nobody should go through it alone.
No, I couldn't agree more. And you know, I'm a huge proponent of having your tribe. I mean, you've got to have the people on your side that have your back or giving you the information, the best information for you, knowing what your circumstances are, knowing, like you said, I love that you set out goals with your clients on where it is that they want to get to, because if you don't have that final destination of where you're going, then it's like, how do you create that roadmap? You know, and to me, that is the ticket to peace, right? Is looking at where it is that you want to be at the end of all of this, because there is the opportunity for you to have that life, to have an even greater life, and, you know, to feel good about yourself when you come out of it. So
no, it's true. And it's so wonderfully said. And in my work, and that gets back to the short-term plan that I was mentioning from a litigation standpoint, and also the bigger picture, the long-term plan, right? Get through the process, you know, find a way to navigate it. Because when people can do it efficiently in an amicable way, and that can mean litigation, that can mean going through the court process, you'll be in such a place so much faster than if you have this really contentious, you know, divorce and separation. And if you don't have a team, it takes longer, years, to really get to where you want to be down the road.
Yeah. Well, Evan, this was a really fascinating and great conversation. I want to also just, kind of wrap things up with, you know, what else do you want our listeners to know to help kind of demystify the whole litigation process that you haven't shared with us already?
Well, it's a great question. And again, I think it's so important to be educated. I think it's so important for people to do their research, and litigation, it's often necessary. It's not the way every case is started, but a lot of times litigation is necessary. And again, I've seen so many cases that would not have settled if a judge was not involved, settled because of the judge's involvement and really the settlement-minded approach of a judge and the judge's court personnel and court staff. And divorce, whether it's litigation or any other process choice, it doesn't have to be really the horror stories that we all read about and see on TV. There's, as long as everybody has an interest in settling the case, you can still get there through litigation.
Yeah, that's great information to share with everybody. Evan, thank you so much for joining me and my listeners today. I so appreciate you and the work that you do and the positivity that you preach to your clients and, you know, the work that you're doing to help alleviate a lot of stress in people's lives. So thank you for being here today.
Wendy, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Wendy, the best way for people to get in touch is people could visit my website, shineondivorce.com. People could follow me on social media at Evan Shine, and people could reach out by email at Evan@shineondivorce.com.
and Shein is spelled S-C-H-E-I-N. And all of that will be available in the show notes for you guys to make it a little bit easier for you to click out and for you guys to get a hold of Evan. Evan, thank you again. And everybody tuning in, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you learned something new. I know that I do. I always do with every guest that I have on. I always learn something new. And that ultimately is my goal, is to just provide you guys with a little bit more information than what you had previously to help you to navigate wherever it is that you are in your divorce process. Thank you all so much for tuning in today, sending you tons of love, light, and joy as always. Mwah. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this episode with someone you know or spread the word on social media. This is how I reach more divorcees around the world and provide them with the support they need to create their next best life. And I would also love to continue the conversation with you. So please friend me on Facebook, join my private Facebook group, The Divorce Rehab, and follow me on Instagram at Divorce Rehab with Wendy. I'll see you next time.